the rest of the story. Charlie Capet, C-A-P-E-T, age 8. He sat uncomfortably in the witness chair. He had already made his statement to the authorities. The prosecutor knew, or at least believed he knew, the dreadful truth. The only question remaining was, would little Charlie testify according to his deposition? Or would the presence of his abusers in the courtroom scare him silent? The latter, particularly likely, considering that the adults whom he had accused of raping him were his Aunt Betty and his own mother. The child was eased into his testimony with general questions concerning his everyday life at home. And then came the crucial interrogation regarding intimacies, too intimate to repeat here verbatim. But nevertheless, the boy assured the court that he had been instructed in sexually degenerate practices by his mother and by his aunt, and that they had encouraged him in these by joining him in his bed. Indeed, the child said that his mother had had sex with him, and furthermore, this extreme misconduct had at least once resulted in a very personal injury to himself. Now, why had little Charlie not reported this earlier, the prosecutor asked? He had been told not to, he answered. And yet, horrifying as are the accusations of incest that you have just heard, I would urge you to reserve your own judgment until you've heard the rest of the story. When little Charlie Capet was no more than 4, that would be 4 years previous to the events of which you have just learned, his mother wrote this anxious description of her small son. Quote, he is extremely indiscreet, being always ready to repeat whatever he has heard. Often enough, without any intention of lying, he embroiders what he says with his imagination. That is his chief fault. End quote. And further, let it be noted that when Charlie was taken from his mother, he clung to her, screaming and weeping, protesting that he wanted to stay. And during the first 2 days and nights of their separation, he sobbed uncontrollably. It was only some while after he had fallen under the influence, more precisely the coercion of those who despised his mother, that little boy came up with the story he told on the witness stand. A great many modern historians have examined the evidence, and none I know of has suggested Charlie's mother was guilty of incest, nor is such imagined of his pious Aunt Elizabeth. And still, their condemnation while they lived hastened in no small way the end of their lives. Both women were executed in a dramatic fashion. The capital punishment of Charlie's mother is among the most renowned and retold executions in all Western history, and as we look back on it, it seems to have been inevitable. And yet, through the events leading up to it, the fires of public opinion had to be stoked and carefully tended, and so thoroughly to vilify the family of little Louis Charles Capet, the heir to the throne of France. The enemies of the aristocracy had raised the specter of child abuse. What happened to the boy after that, nobody knows for sure. He died bearing the then useless title of King Louis XVII, and doubtless haunted by the memory of the loved ones he had betrayed, especially the mother who adored him, condemned while she lived for something she never did, remembered by posterity for something she never said. Let him eat cake. Ah, you thought you knew this woman called Marie Antoinette. Well, now you know the rest of the story.